You can sit for a long time after that. Acts chapter 19, verse 11. I'm going to read through to 17, but we're just going to have 13 to 17 on the screen. But in prayer and in preparation for this message, some of which started coming to my mind as we were here on Wednesday night. But you can be set free. Everybody say set free. You can be set free from whatever is binding you. I believe this message today can break the chains. This is a life-giving message. Whatever it is, an addiction, an attitude, whatever it is that's binding you and holding you back and restricting you, the chains can be broken today. There's power in God's word. Now, I've seen chains take a break for a few days. But that's not the will of God. I've seen chains loosen off for a few days. And somebody say, you know what? I'm doing all right. 3 days later, back to the same thing. That's not the will of God. When God deals with our chains, He breaks the chains. Everybody say He breaks the chains. We serve a God that has all power. He can break every chain. And it's all in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's read Acts 19, verse 11 to 17. And God wrought spiritual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Paul's doing great things. God's using him mightily. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus. They went up to these people and started calling out the name of Jesus over them. They were these vagabond Jews. And they say, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva. Sceva was the father. He was a Jew. He was a chief of the priests which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Everybody say, who am I? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, fought with them. So they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. How embarrassing. And fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Second scripture, John chapter 8, verse 32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. Lord Jesus, I pray for those, Lord God, who may be bound in chains. Lord God, who need deliverance in their life. Lord God, I pray that your word would come forth with clarity, Lord God. Help me to be a clear-sounding trumpet today as I preach your word. Lord, turn me into the microphone from heaven. Lord God, that people would not hear the words of my mouth, but they would hear you speaking to them. We pray all this in your mighty and precious name. And everybody say, in Jesus' name, you may be seated. Praise God. I want to preach today the simple title, somewhat challenging. What is the truth about me? What is the truth about me? Now, the Bible is full of lots of interesting stories. The Bible is very adventurous. It's even the book of Acts, it's a history book, but it's full of so much adventure. And Acts chapter 19 is one of those books that is just full of so much great adventure. We start off Acts chapter 19 and we read about the importance of baptism in the name of Jesus. Some believers had already been baptized under John's baptism. They were later baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. They had the name of Jesus called over them at baptism. And I want to say, as a little sidetrack today, if you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, where the baptizer says, I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ, then I urge you, just like these believers in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 to 5, to be baptized in Jesus' name. Then later on in Acts chapter 19, we also read about handkerchiefs, that they would bring these handkerchiefs to Paul, and he would pray for the handkerchief, and then the handkerchief would be taken to the sick people, and they would be healed. Now, we do that around here. Now, I just want to, this is not part of my message, but if you want to request prayer for somebody that cannot make it to the house of God, you can bring a handkerchief, a clean one, or just a cloth, and we'd be happy as elders of the church to pray over that and to pray for that need, and you can take that handkerchief and you can go put it on your sick friend. I've heard many people bring a handkerchief just like the book of Acts. They brought it, we prayed over it. They went and put it under the pillow in the hospital or laid it on them while they lay in their sick bed, and people are being healed. Should we be surprised? No. It happened in the book of Acts. But then we come to this third part, Acts chapter 19, verse 19. And we also see this other part of Acts chapter 19 where they started burning ungodly materials. Burning them, having a bonfire. Now, I remember when I was in youth, young people would bring their worldly music or worldly books or evil stuff, and we would have a bonfire and just burn all that stuff. Where did we get that from? We got it from the book of Acts. Because in the book of Acts, they brought all their ungodly things and they burnt them. Why did they burn them? Because if you burn them, there's no temptation to go back. But then we come to this story about the supernatural. We read about it. There were these vagabond Jews. They were traveling around. They were practicing exorcism. They're trying to cast demons out of people. And they were traveling there, and they were known as the seven sons of Sceva. Sceva was a Jew. He was a chief of the priests. And one day, these seven sons of Sceva, they came across a demon that they couldn't handle. And the evil spirit said to them, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? That evil spirit then jumped on them, overcame them, prevailed against them, wrestled with them, and they ended up running out of the house naked and wounded. Now, naked can mean a few things in the Bible. Doesn't mean this, if you study the scripture, doesn't mean they were totally naked. But they had only their undergarments on. They had all their outer garments ripped off. They were not appropriately clothed. And so they ran out of that place naked. Next slide there, brother. So the seven sons of Sceva came up against a problem. They thought, listen carefully, this is it. They thought that they could cast out a demon based on someone else's connection with God. They thought that they could cast out a demon based on somebody else's relationship with God. They said, we adjure you by Jesus, not the one that we know. We don't have much of a relationship with him. We don't have much of a connection with him. But we adjure you, or we are praying for you in the name of Jesus, the Jesus that Paul preaches, the Jesus that Paul knows. They thought they had spiritual power based on somebody else's relationship with God. Let me tell you today, somebody else's relationship with God will not give you power. You got to get up close and personal with God for yourself. You got to have a relationship with God for yourself. Somebody else's prayer life will not give you power. As much as we like to thank God for the prayers of our mother and the prayers of our grandfather, and it may get you so far, but unless you have a prayer life for yourself, you will not have power. Somebody else's connection with God will not give you power. So the big question, and the demon asked, said to the seven sons of Sceva, he said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? I'm going to flip that right around today. I'm going to get us to ask ourselves, who am I? What is my relationship with God like? What is my connection with God? Who am I? Am I just serving the Jesus of my parents? Or am I just serving the Jesus of the church? Am I just serving the Jesus of the pastor? Or do I have a true relationship with God? The big question out there today, and we must ask ourselves, who am I? And what is the truth about me? What is my spiritual condition? What is my relationship with God like today? Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who am I? Everybody say truth. Truth is powerful. If we can ask ourselves truthfully, who am I? And we can be truthful about it, there is power in the truth. When you ask yourself, who am I? And you're truthful, then some things can actually change. And we need to be truthful about who we are, and we need to be truthful about what we need, because there is power in truth. When dealing with our spiritual condition, brothers and sisters, we need to look at the truth about ourselves. We can't look what other people think about me. We can't look about what I think about myself and what my ideal is or what my illusion is. When we look at ourselves, we need to look at ourselves truthful. And we don't look at other people, but we need to look at ourselves and be truthful about ourselves. Next slide, John 8, 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to the Jews, to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. There is power in the truth. There is power in the truth of God's word. There's power. But there's a word before that. And you shall know the truth. Now, just because you have a Bible in your house and the Word of God is powerful, but just because you have a Bible in your house, that will not make you free. You see, you've got to know the truth. And you see where the power of the truth of God's Word comes, it is truth. But when I listen to the Word of God, when I read the Word of God, which is truth, and I apply it to myself truthfully, listen carefully, this Word of God is truth. When I am truthful about my spiritual condition and I apply the Word of God truthfully to my life, there is freedom. You've got to be truthful. You read the Word of God and you see something in the Word of God and God begins to speak to you. You need to be truthful and say, you know what? I need to work on that part in my life. You know what? There is sin in my life and I'm going to have to deal with it. You've got to be truthful. You can't read the Word of God and have an illusion about yourself. You've got to be truthful. The power comes, and that's why we always pray it at the end of the service. Help us to apply the Word of God to our life. Help us to know it. Help us to be persuaded about it. Help the Word of God to get inside of us, because it will make us free. The truth is very important. Even Alcoholics Anonymous, they know about the importance of the truth. The first thing they do is they know if you're going to be delivered from being an alcoholic, you've got to be truthful with yourself. You walk in, they get you to stand up, and the first thing you say, my name is so-and-so, and I'm an alcoholic. You see, they understand that unless you are truthful, there can be no freedom. When you go to the doctor, you're looking for what? The truth. You go in there, you got a massive growth on you somewhere. The doctor says, don't worry, it'll be fine. You're saying, hey, you just tell me the truth. I don't care if you're going to hurt my feelings. I'd rather you hurt my feelings, but just tell me the truth. You see, the truth is very, very important. And I can preach the word of God. I can preach the truth. And we preach the truth around here. We like to get into the word of God. If it's not in the word of God, then what part do I have preaching something if it's not in the word of God? But I can preach the truth as much as I want. But unless you want to know the truth, unless you get persuaded about the truth, and unless you truthfully apply it to your life. Anybody ever heard of pitchfork Christians? Pitchfork Christians, it's the word of God comes forth, Brother Jeff. And God begins to speak to them and they feel a bit uncomfortable. So they pitchfork it back. They go, that's for Sister So-and-so and that's for Brother So-and-so. Oh boy, he better hear that preaching. That's for him. It's not for me. And we're living with this illusion of ourselves. We never truthfully apply the word of God to our life. The truth will make you free. So what is the truth about me? If the truth is going to make me free, then what is the truth about me? What is the truth of myself? In light of God's word. Next slide. When I allow the truth of God's word to speak to me about the truth of myself, there is a powerful combination. If you want the chains to be broken, truth will do it. Truth will do it. The truth is the word of God. The truth is, who am I in relation to the word of God? And many people are battling with things in their life, battling with chains in their life. And I've just come to tell you today, there is liberating power, and that is the truth of God's word when we apply it truthfully to our lives. God, I need the truth about me. God, I need your word to speak to me. God, it's me. I want to know the truth in your word concerning me. You know, it's great to be a theologian. It's great to learn lots of stuff about the Bible. But you know, I've met people that know lots about the Bible, but their spirituality is like zero. They can tell you everything about the Bible, but they have never got to the point where they actually start applying it to themselves. We got to apply every time you come to the house of God. If you can't absorb more than one thing, if you can't absorb lots of things, just say, Lord, just speak to me about one thing today that I can be truthful about myself and that I can hear your word and that, Lord, you can change me. You know, the hardest person to see is me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Has anybody ever seen somebody just really doing something just really strange or just really weird or something like that, or and they can't see the truth about themselves? Maybe they're just really irritating or just really obnoxious, and you're thinking, somebody just tell them. If somebody could just tell them what they're like, because they're just so oblivious to it. They're going around so confident, but they're upsetting everybody, or they're coming across as really obnoxious and arrogant. Somebody, please tell them. Now, I'm not telling you today to just start telling everybody about their faults. And husbands and wives, you ought to pick the right time to tell them. You've got to have a relationship with somebody before you can start telling them that stuff. But the hardest person to see is me. So what I'm preaching today is, we need to get a revelation. Not that God would just show us something new in the Bible, but we need to get a revelation about me. Who am I? And what is the truth about me? You know, sometimes we come to church and all we want is another theological idea that we've never seen before. Or another scripture, or another take on a scripture that we've never read before. But what God wants us to have is a revelation about ourselves. About our spiritual condition. God wants us to see the truth about me. The hardest person to see is me. So when you pray, say, Lord, begin to reveal myself. Let me see myself how you see me. And you know, one of the best ways to learn something about yourself is in a storm. When you go through a storm in your life, whether it's big or small, That's how you really get to know yourself. You know, we go through life and lots of things happen. And we have this illusion of, who we are going through life. We think we're this, we think we're that, our friends think we're this, our friends think we're that, but somehow we know that we're not exactly all that. And then along comes a storm and we get bumped. It's only water. And if we stop and look at what came out, we get a revelation of who we really are. Did I just say that? Did I just respond that way? You see, did I just speak that? You see, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if you want to know who you really are, then just get bumped and see what comes out. See, God wants to give us a revelation of ourselves. Because God's word is truth. But unless we have a revelation of ourselves and apply it to the truth of ourselves, it cannot set us free. The chains can be broken if we deal with the truth. In counseling, maybe there's some counselors here today. But when I'm counseling, what I'm looking for is the truth. That's the main thing. We can hear all the stories and listen to people crying and give them tissues and all that. But let me tell you, when you come to me for counseling, I'm just looking for one thing, the truth. Husband and wife come in. All I'm looking for is the truth, because I know if the truth can come out, then things can be fixed. We cannot deal with illusions. We need the truth, and we can't fix it unless we get the truth. And the chains can't be broken unless we get the truth. So what is the truth about me? I know we can come to church, put on our Sunday best, do our hair, or if we, whatever we got left of our hair, and we can come to church, and I'm going to be shining soon, not just combing. But we can come to church and we can look the part, and everybody else may think that we're a great Christian and they're there every week and so faithful and this and that and this and that, and we begin to form this illusion about who we are. But unless we know the truth about ourselves, what is the truth about me? Because if we are truthful about ourselves, we can apply the word of God and the truth will set us free. Next slide, Psalm chapter 51, verse 5 and 6. David messed up really bad. He was meant to be on the battlefront, committed adultery with Bathsheba. David writes this, he says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." He says, "God, behold, you desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me known wisdom." Make me know wisdom. God, you desire truth in my inward parts. You see, David is confronting the chains. David is confronting the sin. He says, "I am a sinner." He's got a revelation of himself. And he says, "And I know, God, you want truth in my inward parts. You want me to be truthful. Not just at what is seen and what everybody else thinks about me, but God, you want me to be truthful about myself." And the hardest person to see is me. And the world, unfortunately, today, all they're focused on is the outward. People can walk around as long as everything's good on the outside. They just walk around and they don't want to face the reality of their condition. The world's going around trying to look the part, trying to be the part, trying to sound the part. You got to try and get it all lined up and all that stuff, but really they're covering the truth. Truth will break the chains. There are a lot of people walking around looking like gangsters, but deep down inside they're hurting. A lot of people going around just being cruel to other people, but let me tell you, hurt people hurt people. See, they're trying to cover up the truth of themselves. They are hurt. You know, x-ray machines. Imagine if we got rid of them. Ultrasounds. They let us see what is truly wrong. And we need to know the truth about ourselves. An ugly truth is still the truth. Focusing on outward appearances can be pleasing. It can be a good way to decorate your house, but it's a very, very dangerous way to live. And sometimes people don't want to hear the truth because they don't want their illusions destroyed about who they are. Everybody say the truth. There is a powerful connection between freedom and truth. Everybody say freedom. There is a powerful connection between freedom and truth. Don't wait for somebody to tell you. Pray and say, God, give me a revelation. What is the truth about me? God, when I go to church today, Lord Jesus, I want your word to expose me. I want to feel exposed, Lord God. I want your word to search deep inside of my heart. I'm going to give you access to all the parts of my life, God. And if there be any wicked way in me, Lord, show me. Give me a revelation of myself. I want to be what you want me to be, God. I want the truth, even if it hurts. And if you're here today and you want to be set free, you've got to deal with the truth. Next slide. 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4 says, talking of the last days before Jesus comes back, says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That's teachers just wanting to say something pleasant. People just wanting something pleasant. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. That's why I'm preaching this today. Because the Bible says in the last days, the last thing people are going to want is truth. The last thing they're going to want is the real truth. The whole Bible, nothing but the Bible. The whole truth, nothing but the truth. People don't want that. The last thing people want to know about themselves is the truth about themselves. Because the Bible says they will turn away their ears from the truth. They won't want to know the truth. And they will be turned to fables. They're going to be looking for preachers that are going to make them feel nice. And we are living in the day when people want fables and not truth. And let me tell you, I believe that if you serve God, if you put God first, He'll take care of you. You can have a successful life. You can have all of that. But what? There is no use me preaching how to have a successful life if you haven't been born again. There's no use me preaching about how to take good care of yourself and go to the gym and be a good steward of your body, because there's no use me preaching that if you haven't been born again. There's going to be a lot of men go to hell with great looking bodies. There's going to be a lot of people in hell that had a successful life. There's going to be a lot of people in hell that had a good self-image. The most important thing is, have you been saved? I believe that God wants to bless us. I believe that God wants us prosperous. But I don't want to be a preacher that just wants to preach the fables. I don't want to be a preacher that just wants to tickle ears. We've got to know the truth. Hurt me with the truth, but don't comfort me with a lie. Hurt me with the truth. Come on, pastor. Hurt me with the truth. Don't comfort me with a lie. I got to know the truth about me. I got to know the truth. David said in Psalm 139, this would be a good prayer to pray. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. What is the truth? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Not what seems good, not what feels good. I want the truth. So, seven sons of Sceva vagabond Jews, going around trying to cast demons out of people. They come across one they couldn't handle. Sent them running from the house naked and wounded. That demon said to them, he said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And so we need to ask ourselves that question. Who am I? And what is the truth about me? Do I have a relationship with God? I want to be a Christian. That's my desire. But am I living a godly life? What is the truth about me? Not what other people think. Not even what pastor thinks. I think you're all great. We're all on our way trying to get to heaven. But what is the truth? You can fool me. I could be fooled. Your mom and dad can be fooled. But what is the truth about me? And when you are dealing with the truth, and when God's word comes forth and speaks, you will know it's for you because you're dealing with the truth. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Everybody say my heart. Try me. He's not saying and know my outward appearance. He says heart, in. He says thoughts, in. And see if there be any wicked way. He doesn't say, Lord, how do I look? No. Check me out, God. Look pretty good today, don't I? Do a survey of my friends. Look what they think of me. He says, no, search me, O God. Get the spotlight, Lord Jesus, and begin to search in my heart and begin to search in my thoughts. And Lord God, look and see if there be any wicked way. And then lead me, Lord, into the way everlasting. If the musicians could come now. When those spirits come and try to wound and humiliate us, we have power to cast them out through Jesus' name and a relationship with Jesus. Who am I? What is the truth about me? The last slide we're going to look at is the last scripture. That's the last one. Well, turn in your Bibles. I forgot to put it there. John chapter 16, verse 13. John chapter 16 and verse 13. As Pentecostals, we preach a lot about being filled with the Spirit. When you're filled with the Spirit, the initial evidence is you'll speak in other tongues. But it's maybe one of the biggest weaknesses in the Pentecostal movement is that we focus so much on the infilling of the Holy Spirit that we forget about the leading of the Holy Spirit. See, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, that's just the beginning. That's God taking up residence in your life. But unless you are going to hearken and listen to what the Spirit says, unless you're going to follow the leading of the Spirit, then where are you going to go? And John 16, 13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of... See, if you let the Holy Spirit speak to you, it's going to begin to speak the truth to your life. And he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. We've got to go beyond, listen, Pentecostals, beyond just being Spirit-filled to being Spirit-led. And if you would let that Spirit, if you're filled with the Spirit, if you'll let that Spirit just begin to rise up and begin to speak, it'll begin to reveal things in your life, and you will see what is the truth about me.
God, I need your spirit. Lord, send the searchlight of heaven into my life today. Lord God, that you would give me a revelation of myself. Lord God, so as the word comes forth, that it can, the truth of your word can be coupled with the truth about me. And Lord God, your word can set me free. The truth can set me free. Let's all stand.